Welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where men, families, and the truth have a voice. The information shared on this podcast is meant to be applied. Now, here's your host, Hunter Drew, founder of thefamilyalpha.com and co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Let's get to work.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Alpha Podcast. Today is Friday, which means I have a guest with me. I am joined by Johnny Zuback from The Art of Charm. He runs that along with his business partner, AJ. They've been featured on NBC, Huffington Post, Time Magazine, Men's Health, and so much more. Probably the most well-versed man I've had on this show. Johnny, welcome.
Man, what an introduction. It's an honor to be here, and thank you very much for the kind words. I'm really excited for this conversation. Of course, I follow you on Twitter, and I think we have lots to talk about today.
Absolutely. Actually, I couldn't hit the record button fast enough because we were talking prior to kicking this off, and I was like, man, we've got a great discussion already going. So let's just roll with it. Today, I really want to pick your brain on confidence. I view confidence to be the elixir of masculinity. That is what makes a man. A man will go out and climb that tree for no other reason than to prove he wants to climb that tree. What you and AJ do is you help men find that voice, find that sense of self, and then how to communicate it to a group, to a business. If you're in business dealings with your family, you know, with friends, I see a lot of men, you know, a lot of men turn to Fraternity of Excellence, which is my group, initially because they don't really have that. They don't know how to engage with men. They don't really know how to speak with the opposite sex, you know, and their business suffers, their personal life suffers. How have you found a way to tap into that frequency to help men sort of help themselves communicate who it is they are to the world?
Well, men want challenges, and men know that deep down that they need to build skills in order to bring into reality everything they want in life. So be it money, power, women, these are the things that all men want. And as human beings, as a species, we get those things because we want attention, approval, and acceptance. And those are things that we're not handed. We have to go and get those things. And there is a point in every man's life, a young man's life, when they start to becoming of age and realize very quickly that the guys who are athletically gifted, the gifted men, are going to start gathering the girls' attention rather quickly. And then for the rest of us, I was an artist, so for the rest of us, we're like, okay, I want that attention as well. I'm going to have to carve out my own niche here. Now, for myself, I found that through music. I started playing guitar. Music was in my household. My dad played music. And so I found, here's my unique way to carve out my own niche to get that attention. And all young men are looking for their path, their niche. And for some, it's rather obvious. I had instruments in the house. I saw my mom getting ready every weekend to go see my dad play. Like, you connect those dots. And I, as a child, I always thought that was wonderful to see my parents in such a manner of my mom getting all gussied up to go see my dad perform. Like, that was an easy connection. But we're also in an age where those paths may not be so easy. And we have so much information handed to us with all this technology. I think young men are overwhelmed, they're confused, and because of that, we're seeing more men opt out of the game, so to speak, of the game of life, as I like to refer it, than ever. And it's not just us culturally, it's happening all over the world. And when a lot of the things that young men are striving for through these niche avenues or athletics, academics, art, they are now finding that in the form of gaming or other entertainment, porn, and all these things, where that might fill the void like a McDonald's Big Mac might feed you when you're hungry, but the nutritional value is just not there. It's empty calories. And the attention, approval, and acceptance that you receive through this frivolous behavior is empty calories. However, if you've programmed yourself to get it through those means, by the time you start to reach adulthood, that programming is quite difficult to counter, to climb out of. And I think all young men, in order to find themselves, need to lose themselves. And if they're going to lose themselves, they're going to need voices to follow, to lead them out of the jungle, so to speak. And it's voices like yours. It's voices like mine. It's voices like Alexander Cortez or any of these people who are screaming from the rooftops, when you guys are ready to get it together, we're here and we're going to help you. But we're seeing it that for some reason we're being silenced, which is odd to me. Because the more productive our young men are, the more productive our society is. And right now, it's looking very much so that we're sick in many ways than one.
This is exactly, we were pretty much introduced by Jeff Putnam. He's the one who turned me on to your work. He runs a Rugged Legacy Grooming. You were on his podcast. Yeah. And then he told me to check you out. So I dove into your work. And you're absolutely correct. You know, not only in the sense, are we lighthouses? You know, there's a lot of people struggling and we're the light. Like, hey, you can get out of the dark. Come on over here. Check this out. People are trying to shut that down. And those men need those voices, those lights. I call it throwing ropes. It's like they're stuck in a hole. And once you climb out, you have the opportunity to throw a rope and help pull your brother out and help pull your fellow men out. So everything you just said on board. I want to go back a second. You said that you're a musician. And I think people, they work with what they have. You know, so when you think of that, you had instruments. Those are your tools. I'm like, all right, I can work with this. And I find that like attracts like. So I can picture you as a young man, like, all right, I like instruments. And that guy over there, he looks like he likes instruments. We're in like a quasi, like a tribe. Hey, you, do you sing? Do you play drums? Do you play bass? Hey, like, let's all jam. Let's all get together. We are our people. I think that's also a part of not just the social media isolation, but these young men are never hitting the point where they see somebody else like, oh, maybe you and I will get along. You know, growing up, I played sports. I saw the kids who were athletic. Hey, we're friends because of proximity. We don't have social media. I think because of the social media and the tech that's been introduced, there are so many tools. You can be whatever you want. You can be friends with a kid in India. You can be friends with somebody in Ireland at the same time. But because you can do that, you never develop the physical you that's local, that is defined and confined to the physical realm. So you're not really building, you're not really connecting on a level that we used to connect on naturally. You know, like you and I are speaking right now, and I believe there's a degree of connection because we can see each other. This video, we're almost there. You and I sitting down at a table shaking hands, totally different. Not that like consummates the friendship. Now we're definitely like connected, like, oh, I really know Johnny. I met him. I shook his hand. Do you think that the illusion of connection social media provides is also atrophying the human element of just connection and tribal creatures?
Yeah, there's a few points that you made that I want to direct these comments to. So number one, the meeting face-to-face. So yes, you and I are talking right now, but the science data is showing that in order for real connection to happen, like what we're doing right now, this is a Big Mac. This is a McDonald's Big Mac of connection. The reason being that it's not a very fulfilling connection is that I cannot mimic your micro expressions. And so when you're speaking, your emotions are going to come through in your face, and I am going to reciprocate that. That's a natural human response in order for me to connect and feel like you do. And that can only happen in real life. We cannot see that definition, nor can our eyes, brain pick that up and mimic that. So there is a separation there. As great as this is, don't get me wrong, this is amazing, the tools that we have to be able to do this right now.
We're on totally opposite ends of the country right now.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's amazing. However, man, there's a reason when we do our podcast, and we've been doing it for 14 years, that if we can do this face-to-face, and we tell everyone, listen, we live in Los Angeles. We don't have to do this interview now. We can do it when you're in town. Like, let's just book it. Because it's going to be a better interview because we're there. And Jordan Peterson brought this up, and I love this. When you meet face-to-face, there is always going to be a backdrop of respect between you and I because there is the imminent threat of violence. And that imminent threat of violence causes us to have decorum and respect for each other so that we can have a conversation. So my other point to this is, let's just say for whatever reason, you get mad at me and you think I'm an asshole and you go onto Twitter to character assassinate me. I mean, really, dude? So what does that do? That only ups my profile because you're talking shit about me on Twitter, right? And puts you in a hole. Like, character assassination between men doesn't work the way it does with women. It's a completely separate thing. And in fact, I'm sure there are multiple people that we know who have online spats on purpose for the drama of it, to drag everyone in, to up everyone's profile that's involved. That is the whole WWE wrestling hillbit hero that goes on, and it easily sucks people in. It's a parlor trick. Now, that parlor trick is great for entertainment, but it doesn't do anything for the people who are involved other than it entertains them in that moment. And how much time do you realize when you are checking out something online or some avatars or characters that you enjoy, that you learn from, that you like what they have to say, and then you realize, oh, they just got in some drama garbage, so I'm out of here. And I know for myself that I'm trying to keep up some sort of radar to realize when I just got sucked in the drama, something I just got sucked in as something that's not really benefiting me, and to turn it off. Because it's difficult. We're wired to get sucked in. We have to override that curiosity and tendency to see what happens of frivolous behavior just to cause some drama.
It's as you're saying all of that, and I was thinking of the layers of separation there are. So you're speaking and there's a vibration going through your throat, through these wires into my ears. It's not the same vibration as if I was sitting next to you. You know, the vibe your body's giving off. You know, you spoke about the inherent respect given because you don't want to get punched in the mouth. I don't want to get punched in the mouth. So let's not say things that on the internet, you can just hit X or block or whatever. No, you say it in person, you could get knocked in the face. So yeah, there's that, that changes in person, as well as the mimicry he was speaking of. You know, it's removed. So without that connection, you're not feeling the same you would normally feel. And I think starting at birth, we're seeing a lot of people never develop that. Their whole life has been removed. So when you're raised, Kyle Trouble brought this up, and I've stolen it and used it 1,000 times. Tablet toddlers, these kids that are raised through a screen, they're raised on Fortnite, they're raised on these social media platforms, into now they're adolescents, and I'm trying to sit down like, hey, how are you doing? And they're staring at the ground, or they don't know how to express. They're like, what do you mean you want to talk? They never developed what used to be so natural. And I think when we talk about social anxiety and these mental issues we're having, is because we never trained the mind, you know, which is just like any other muscle. We never did the mental lifts of sitting at a table with no phone or distraction and speaking to an individual, you know, like back. I mean, that's how it was when I was growing up. I'm only 33. So the guys that are 25, you know, let's say 18 to 25, they're fucked. their whole environment is designed to like remove what's needed, especially as a man, to develop that confidence that I was talking about.
Without a doubt. And I, quick story on that, and this is just enraged me because I work in this field and I'm helping young men and I see the damage it's caused firsthand. And I was recently, this year, I was in Budapest and I was sitting in this little outside cafe having some dinner and I heard a television go on behind me. And I naturally was like, what? And I was disoriented. I turned around and it was a family and they just gave two of the children at the table who were acting up iPads. And these were children, 6, 7, 8 years old. And they were acting up and on vacation. They were American from how they were speaking, from the accent and everything. And I instantly just got enraged. I wanted to get up from my table and walk over and just smack the iPad out of their hands and just chew the parents out. Because the parents are not dealing with this. They're dealing with, in the moment, get these kids to shut up, give them a screen. I am dealing with the aftermath, which is young adults having difficulty connecting with each other. And once again, we go back to the science of it, which is, and this is, I have this piece of me that's like, oh, are you being an old man and complaining, right?
Get off my lawn.
Well, get off my lawn. Okay, boomer, you know. But however, the science has shown that between 2 and 5 and 5 and 14, there are certain aspects of the brain that imagination and play and diplomacy works getting worked out and roughhousing, all these things develop certain aspects of the brain that allows children to function in society with others. And we're herd animals, okay? So and we'll get into that in a minute and how that plays out. But the screen is shutting down these building blocks and the brain is not developing as it has been. Okay, so you can make an argument that this is going to be the new thing. Well, here's my point on that. Anytime that science has decided to go against nature, science loses, okay? Society loses. You have to respect nature. We are herd animals. As a herd animal, you have to move between herds and you look to others to mimic the social norms of those herds in order to be able to fit in. What do you get to fit in that you search for that and strive for that? You get attention, approval, and acceptance. That allows you to feel safe. Your safety for the Maslow's hierarchy of needs is that first rung. That is your basic need in order for you to do anything else, to abstract concepts and play and any, there has to be a certain level of comfort that affords you the opportunities to do those other things. That comfort comes from being accepted. That acceptance comes in the form of attention, approval, and acceptance. Those things come from being able to develop those parts of the brain that allows you to mimic, that allows you to pick up social norms, that allows you to have empathy, that allows you to be able to communicate who you are to others so that others can connect with you. We're losing all of those. Those skills are atrophying. Those skills, not only they're atrophying in us, they're not being developed in younger.
I can't help, and I guess I want to know your opinion on this, and this is me asking myself just as much. Do you ever find yourself conflicted when you see the troll or you see the guy, you know, ranting on the keyboard? Do you find it, like, part of you is like, screw that guy, you know, you're, go away. But do you ever catch yourself also saying, well, he doesn't know any better? You know, the guy on the other side of the screen, like, this guy, he's ranting and raving, but, like, he's probably screaming for, like, help on the inside. He's probably struggling, has no emotional control, has no purpose, and all he has is triggering other accounts online. Because I feel like maybe I'm an empathetic guy. So maybe I'm just a softy. But there, a lot of times, man, when trolls are going after me, I'm like, are you good, dude? Like, are you cool? Like, I'm not talking to your username. I'm talking to the dude behind that screen. Like, are you good?
Yeah.
Because you don't seem good.
Yeah, I just think it's from the line of work that you do, you realize that there's a lot of troubled young people out there, men and women, who are finding it difficult to navigate in a social world without social skills. And so what is the only way that they can get attention? Attention, approval, and acceptance are the three things that everybody needs. Now, you can get attention in a cooperative, high-value manner that we all strive for, or you can get attention by being a troll. And that allows you to know that you're there and that people are paying attention and that you can rattle people. Let me give you another example of that in a context in real life. So here in Los Angeles, we have a homeless problem that is completely out of control. Now, one of the things that the homeless and the mentally out there drug-addled folks like to do, and this is a common thing that you see, is they just wander in the traffic. And they stop that traffic. By doing that, they are being seen for the first time in days, weeks, months, and it allows them in that moment to have this little bit of power that they're getting this attention, acceptance of being there. And they do this on a regular basis. And people honk, they throw things at them, they yell at them. But for the first time in a long time of being ignored, they're seen. Not only are they being seen, there's a power that goes on with it to be able to be seen and have an effect socially in real life that allows them to realize I'm still here. And sorry, but that behavior works online as well. And think about the young men who have opted out, who can't get attention from other guys to be accepted, let alone women. If you can't talk to a guy, how are you gonna talk to a girl? And the only thing that they have is by rattling other people's feathers online to realize, hey, I do have some sort of power and control over here. I'm able to upset these people. And one of the reasons I love the silo that we're all in on Twitter is everyone just ignores those people. I think because if you ignore them, they're either going to have to bug off to find somebody else they can troll and get that attention, or hopefully jump on board and no one yells at them. No one in our silo makes a fool of them. We just continue doing with our thing, staying happy, leading our way through strong messages of values and purpose and hopes that they see that and join.
Your story about the homeless, like that's heartbreaking. Just wanting to be seen, you know, just wanting someone to just say, I see you, I hear you. You know, when I think about the men, I mean, I've received some heartbreaking emails and had some very, very difficult conversations with men who are struggling. And what's terrible is we all want to be the light. We want to be the sun. You know, we want to put out a beacon of hope and life. But you know what's more powerful than the sun? A black hole. That can absorb a sun, that can take the light. Even light cannot break free of a black hole. And I think these men, when it gets so dark, they go that route. And they want it to just destroy. And that's why you see, you know, either they take their life, a lot of these shootings, these young men are just so black and angry. And nobody could just say, hey, I see you. You're good. Where you're gonna be all right, man. Like, we're gonna make it. And like they just that rope never happens. Or when they get it, they choose to hang themselves as opposed to climb out of that hole. And they double down. They're like, no, I'm going to make this worse. And I think there's a sense of, I guess, brainwashing going on. And this might be my tinfoil hat self-talking, but you're on electronics so much that you no longer have that sense of the ability to connect and see something that's in the gray. It's either black or it's white. It's a one or a zero. You start thinking like a machine. And it's like, if you can't be that motivational, you know, leading the way, then you're going to fuck some shit up and try to shit everybody's parade. Yeah. And there's just so much more to life than just those two. There's so many paths, but people are choosing left or right. They're not even seeing it because they're just living through these fucking electrons.
Along with that, the black hole path is easier. You don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to dig deep within yourself to find something to pull you out of the mess that you're in. We demand a lot of the young men who come into our silos because the world and their lives are demanding. And they never had, a lot of them never had that, where the single parent home is garbage. It's doing harm to these men and, because of these men, to our society to a degree that I don't think anyone's ready for. That's what makes me so scared in the moment with the corona thing going on. But at the same time, they have a lot of people cheering them on to do that harm, which is much easier. And you can go down as this hero to this crowd, and a name that will never be forgotten, when the message that you and I and so many like us are offering is, we're going to get you out of this, but you're going to have to put in the work. We're going to be there with you, right? We'll hold your hand. We'll go to the gym. We'll do that. We're going to get this together. But for some of these guys, that is so alien to them, and they don't even know where to begin. And those small it's a long road, and those small steps could seem fruitless if you've never been turned, if you've never learned how to critically think. A lot of the guys that I work with, they have certain cognitive distortions running that they're so accustomed to that they can't understand or see the progress they made, because the cognitive distortion they're running doesn't allow them to. And we all run cognitive distortion. We have to be willing to open it up. Like a father who is not being emotionally manipulated, who is in a two-parent home, is able to tell his son to snap out of it or get it together or that life's not fair. A father that is estranged from his family is emotionally torn and manipulated to act like the caring mom, to give the kid whatever he's asking for so that the kid wants to see him next weekend. So the father is not in a place to be able to do his duty as a father, to give the hard lesson, to be the other side of the poles.
I think that highlights one of the biggest issues with these men who are going down the wrong path, is there aren't enough examples. You know, some men need to hear it 5 times, 6 times, 10 times before they're like, oh, I get it. There's only two people who are actually trying, two people who aren't these conformist drones who are following whatever the perpetual outrage machine known as the news is spreading. All they know is what they can regurgitate from that morning's Fox session or MSNBC or whatever, you know, it is. And that kind of, I think that ties very well into the topic. For the men who are looking to break free from that path, and they're looking to, I want to find myself and start to be able to speak to women, to my colleagues, you know, to other men. How do those men start? So you have the Communication Accelerator. Without sharing all the secrets of you and AJ's work, what are some actions these men can start? What can they do to kind of just get the process going? Because success begets success. The hardest one is step one. If you can figure that out, 2, 3, 4, they'll come. So where do you recommend these guys go?
Well, number one, start working out and eating right and sleeping right. That's going to go a long way in helping you cognitively put some things together socially. And that product was put together in an effort to give young people some strategies that maybe they weren't privy to in order to go out and enjoy themselves and make the connections that they will need to for business, love, and life. Those three things are tied to communication. Think about every tough decision that you're going to have to make in life, it's going to involve conversation. And if you don't have those skills, then you're hoping for the best to come out of those conversations rather than driving it to where you need it to go. And the communications accelerator is a great stepping stone to get some skills, get some strategies, and to show these young people that this is in you. And if you enjoy this, you can continue developing this. I know for myself, I never realized how much control I had over situations until I actually started applying myself to have control over those situations. And so there needs to be some products and some podcasts, and you can, you know, our toolbox episodes get released usually at the beginning of every month, and they're packed with actionable tips for you to be able to drive connection to your wants, needs, and desires. And the accelerator is just the what we felt were the best curated bits of those guests in our 14 years of experience. And that rabbit hole, like all rabbit holes, could go as far as you want it to go. But hey, get some skills. See what you're actually capable of. Any young man can go to the gym and start working out and go, holy crap, I never realized that about myself. Well, where's the gym for the guy who wants to get better at communicating? So here's a guide to get you started there. And then, because within communication, in order to communicate, you have to know what you're communicating. And if you're certainly going to be communicating about who you are to attract the right people, you need to be able to discover that. And challenge, hardship, struggle, skill building, learning, that allows you to do that. And so that should be an incredible, fun experience. And like you mentioned, you have a group, we have our network, which is like-minded individuals that you can bounce ideas off of so that you can have fun with this stuff. Socialization and learning socialization comes with consequences that a lot of people who at the beginning might not be ready for. So you need to be surrounded by people who understand, who can laugh some of these things off with you and help you out to be better the next time. And those, we all have our Sherpas for whatever skills we want to learn. And communication is no different.
To everybody listening, there are links to Johnny and AJ's products and courses and everything content below. Make sure you check it out, especially if you're looking to develop your communication. I think another element to add to this is that preconceived notions need to be broken down. You know, there are men who are like, well, I'm an introvert, therefore I'm not good in social settings. Craig James is the man who co-founded the Fraternity of Excellence with myself. He is an introvert. You know, there are introverts who say, I could never go on a podcast, even what we're doing right now. We've been speaking for roughly 45 minutes. They could not hold a 5-minute discussion. Craig James, an actual introvert, he runs podcasts all the time because he knows who he is. Being introverted doesn't mean you don't have a personality. He has a very strong personality. He might say less, but when he speaks, it means more. It pulls you in. You gravitate towards him because you're like, wow, he doesn't waste words. And I find that a lot of men, that's just a cop-out. They're just telling, oh, I couldn't get a podcast. Yes, you could if you knew who you were. You could talk for hours on end. You know, well, I'm not interesting. You could be interesting if you chose to do interesting things, if you chose to relay that. You know, Pat Stedman, we had a little private VIP Q&A with him, and he was dropping gold. And one of the things he said, without giving too much, was don't try to be somebody else. Just because Hunter does something a certain way and has success, you can have as much or more success doing things your way completely different. So don't put up this wall of, I have to copy that type, because if I don't walk that dude's path, I'm not going to be as funny or whatever. Like, do your own thing.
I agree 100%. The other preconceived notion is the guys who think by learning these skills, then they need to go into a room and be the center of attention. And that's just not the case. You can accomplish a lot by just being the guy who's able to pull people off on breakout sessions, the one-on-ones, the sidebars, the conversations going on. There's nights when, you know, I am the center of attention, but that's not the norm. And those nights are fun, but for myself, I'm more the guy who's broken off on a couple people holding court, or who is really good on one-on-one sessions such as you and I are having right here. The guys who are trying to go from 0 to 100 are going to be met with a harsh reality. And you know, that doesn't mean that you're a failure. There is a gray area there of progress that you can move through. And it's each time, each little step and that you are making will help you get to be able to hold court in opportunities where the mic is given to you. But the idea of walking into a room and making it happen and grabbing the mic and start to scream and you're going to have everyone's attention, that's utterly ridiculous. And I think a lot of people have those weird ideas for a lot of skills. But if you understand the learning process, how it works, then it's comfortable. I don't play video games. So to me, you can learn a cheat code, or so your friend could tell you the secret how to get through this level or whatnot. And so there's no consequences that I can see in a lot of that. You may be learning a skill of how to do whatever it is that to get through a certain level or whatnot, but the idea of seriously getting knocked down, literally or figuratively, emotionally in a social situation, and to dust yourself back off and get back up and show your face again is incredibly powerful. And that needs to happen at a very early age. You know, Jeff, you mentioned Jeff Putnam of Rugged Legacy. I think we brought up in conversation the idea of getting punched in the mouth for saying the wrong thing, and how as a young kid, when that happens, you handle things a little differently. And there used to be a time where a father waited for that to happen to his young kid. So he's like, oh, you got knocked down. Well, here I am. Let's pick you back up. Let's dust you off. Let's show you some fight moves. And that's part of life. And fathers know it's coming. But I can tell you, I've met plenty of young men, plenty of adults, where that has never happened. And I'm blown away. That was a regular event in every young man's life. And that was a lesson that no video game could ever teach you.
I was going to say, wouldn't you say that's a part of the rite of passage to becoming your own man, and that's being removed? You know, getting your character to level 50 isn't what's going to make you a man.
Yeah, absolutely. Being knocked down and shaking it off and getting back up. You know, one of the things that Conor McGregor mentioned about after the Floyd fight, that I was like, right on. He's like, I've been choked out on television before. It's not a big deal. You lose, you win. And because everyone was talking shit to him. And it's like, yeah, who's talking crap to Conor? A bunch of keyboard jockeys who are getting off telling him, oh, I told you so, to jump in a ring with Mayweather. The balls of McGregor to step into a ring with Mayweather in front of everybody, into a sport that he was obviously not prepared for, or prepared his best for, but was just, he was a fish out of water. It was obvious.
So there's something about entering the arena that I think speaks to every man. You know, everybody yeah. wants to, but that's like the literal arena. That's a perfect example. I was looking at you, you're doing it now. You have no idea what I'm going to ask you. You have no idea what angle I'm going to take, yet you're here and you mentally have to kind of navigate. We're kind of back and forth with ideas, kind of flowing together. you were on Good Morning, I believe it was La La Land, and it was you and AJ, and you were talking about active listening, emotional bids, a few other things, and two things occurred to me. One is you guys were on that camera, and you had no idea what they were going to ask. You just had to be ready. That in itself takes some courage. But for men who are looking to, like, I want to change, I want to get better, you have to enter the arena. What is active listening? You can read about that nonstop. You've got to go do it to truly understand. What are emotional bids? Well, I recognize you want to connect with me. Yeah, I get that. You understand the definition, but have you lived the experience? You can read about how to throw a punch all day. Until you punch somebody, you're not going to know what the fuck a punch is, you know? So it's interesting that it's very literal entering the arena. You have to do the thing.
Yeah, and maybe I could say something that will help people jump in the arena and take the ass kicking that they deserve in order to become better. And you become better whether you win or lose. You're better for it. And what's important there is, okay, so Good Morning, La La Land. That was a utter shit show. So they ushered us in. We had no idea what was going on. We were completely unprepared for what they even wanted us there for. Our buddy Rob, who we interviewed on our show, asked us to be on his show. So, yeah. And I remember they handed the mic to me, and I was not even really clear at the beginning of what was even happening or if it was live or what camera. And I said what I thought I was supposed to say. And then she asked me another question as I was passing the mic to AJ, and the camera's on my face. And it was just bad. Now, perhaps watching it, maybe it didn't come off that way, or maybe how it was edited, it wasn't bad. However, it for me sitting there clueless, I was like, what? And it was in Beverly Hills, and these people were all dressed up. And it was like, it was a shock all the way around. Now, we laughed about the whole thing and what an experience that was. Now, what is the worst that could happen out of that? Okay, let's say 1 million people saw that. And 1 million people made fun of me for that. Okay, I've been made fun of before, but here's what's great. Now 1 million people know who the hell I am. And I'm going to be able, in that 1 million people, how many young people, men and women, will be like, whoa, I want to hear more about what these guys are about, even if it's 1,000. I mean, that's unbelievable. And so you have to take those risks. You have to take those ass kickings if you want to change lives, if you want to make your mark, if you want to have an impact. And what's great about all this technology is, hey, we might not be able to change the world, so to speak, but we can have a little impact from our little corner that allows us to wake up and laugh and have fun and be better. And the more people who jump in, the better. But we have to be able to do that, take those lumps in order to create that space.
Absolutely. It's an experience. I mean, that's life, right? That's the whole point of this whole thing we're doing. This is what living is, going and doing that, not watching others. You know, I think I have this theory that people treat their social media just like they would a video game. They're going to try to upgrade that guy, and they're going to make him look so cool, like he goes on that vacation and he's so happy. But on the inside, they're like fucking miserable, and they're always angry and they're bitter. But hey, perfect angle of the selfie. I'm good. I'm happy. It's like, no, man, like, go and live the life. Don't try to portray a life that's well-lived. Actually be living a good life, getting out, doing the thing. You said that you had actionable content, you know, on your site. And that's exactly what I try to offer here is, don't just hear my words, go and do them, go and apply them, go walk, go speak to the waiter, you know, say something besides, hi, how are you? Just engage somebody, just be heard and be seen. And you'll find that you're connected in this thing called life.
Yeah. There is a lot of philosophy behind what you do and what we do. And I never thought about it like that before until I was in my mid-30s. And now, philosophy, the more you understand it, the more purpose you have with your actions. And the more purpose you have with your communication. And I never saw philosophy from that aspect as a young man. However, if you want strength, you want power, you want wisdom, then you'll be able to find that through philosophy. And the thing about that makes philosophy difficult is it's packaged in ways in the past that is not applicable to today. However, I'm sure if they join your group, if they join our group, they listen to our content, they're going to be hearing Nietzsche and Kierkegaard and Marcus Aurelius and Plato and Socrates. They're going to be hearing these things packaged for our modern world and how it's going to impact their life. And I like to call myself a blue collar armchair philosopher. You know, it's like I listen to YouTube is so rad to put on a lecture of Thus Spoke Zarathustra of Nietzsche from some Harvard professor, and my mind is melted by the end of it. And to be able to understand and act and implement these ideas in a modern world is strength that a lot of these young men have not realized is inside them yet. And they are going to get that by listening to our ideas and subscribing to, well, those ideas and to implement those in their life. And the only way is, yeah, I heard what Hunter said. I heard what Johnny said. Okay, that now I'm going to wake up and do that tomorrow. And you'll be met with the hardship of what it is like to act that out and the pushback you will get from it. But from that pushback, you will be stronger for the next day. And every day that you implement these things gets better than the day before. And so every day is like, what is tomorrow going to bring? And I remember the very first time that I went to bed happy and excited for the next day, comparatively to staying awake partying all night because I was afraid to go to bed because I didn't want to have to deal with the next day. And that shift, once it happens, is the lifesaver. It's the game changer. It's miraculous.
And I think that's exactly what the men who are listening to this and searching for that sense of connection and meaning, that's what they're looking for. You know, not dreading the next day, but actually ending this one with pride. I had a good day, and tomorrow I'm going to get after it again. You know, I think every time you wake up, you're born. Every time you go to bed, you die. And what you do in between, that's your life. So make every day count. Live a good life. With that, before we head to wrapping this one up, I'm in rural Rhode Island. you knew at some point this is going to come up. You're in the middle of Hollywood, and we are dealing with the coronavirus. How are you holding up, man?
Well, there's a few ideas, philosophy that I'm looking at right now. Number one, I'm always trying to look for the positive. I like framing things in a manner that gives me power over them rather than cowering to them. And so I have to look at this as a hardship and a struggle that perhaps will wake America up, well, wake the world up to come together and quit bickering and show some humanity and care for each other as we get through this, rather than devolving into the apes that we are and tearing each other apart. So there is a part of me that I'm hoping for the best, knowing that in the past we have risen to the challenge, but there is a part of me that knows where we've been recently and the tensions in the world, and hoping this snaps us out in a good way rather than the wrong way. Now, upon that, there's this idea that in all society, especially Western society, we are 4 mils away from anarchy. Now, that brings a reality and a worry that it has me a little nervous. This is the beginning, as you listen to this, guys. This is the beginning of all this. This is March, 12th?
Yes,
it's so we've now been upgraded to a pandemic, and basketball was canceled yesterday, and all flights into America. So we're at a difficult time. It is here, and this is the beginning. So we'll see how this pans out. I would love nothing more than to it would be more comforting to be home in rural Pennsylvania where I grew up, but that is not the case. And I am here to ride this out and see what it brings. And I'm going to do my best to be at my best through this and whatever that entails, and hope that I rise to that challenge as well.
I think that that's well said. I think that outlook is a strong one. I do, you know, at its core, America knows what's right. I think we'll band together. We've done it before. We will do it again. I would also like to circle back with you. When this thing is, it's all said and done, we'll come back and we'll do a post-corona Johnny and Hunter podcast.
Okay, that sounds rad.
So for everybody, go ahead.
Well, just on a jokingly side, if things get too bad, I'm hitting you up to send me some rice, bro.
I got your back, brother. So for all the guys that are listening, all the ladies that are listening, where can they find more from Johnny?
Well, the Art of Charm podcast has been going for 14 years. And the last year or two of toolbox episodes have all the actionable tips for today's world and society for you to be better. Those usually were roughly around the beginning of each month. Sometimes we weren't able to hit that with certain guests or whatnot. And then, as you mentioned, we have the accelerator, which is strategies and tips to get moving so that you can see the power that you have in communicating who you are to get the results in life from your relationship that you desire.
That's awesome. I appreciate your time. Go ahead.
Yeah. And just one last thing. And we're on all social media, and I handle the Art of Charms on Twitter. But you can personally find me at AOC Johnny.
Now, I appreciate your time for coming on the show. I'll have links to all of those below. So check that out if you guys want to learn more from Johnny or AJ, see what it is they're up to. And if you're working to improve your communication skills and develop that sense of confidence, Johnny offered several actionable items you can apply today. Thanks for tuning in. This was another episode of Family Alpha Podcast.
Thanks for listening. You can join our private men's only community at thefraternityofexcellence.com. And don't forget to find Hunter on Twitter and Instagram with the handle @HunterDrewTFA.